first reading tells us of Samuel's early beginnings as a prophet of the Lord. He was still a young boy, and the Lord called him. And probably tomorrow, they're going to skip it. The first word came was to Eli, who was neglecting the training of his own sons. And the Lord said, you're going to be punished for that. In fact, you're going to die. And that's not in the... I don't know, people, maybe the editors felt that'd be too glum to hear early in the morning. I don't know why they did that. But anyway, you can look, and it's 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 10, and then 19 to 20. And they skip 11 to 18. Still okay, but it's, you know, they missed a bit. Shmuel, that's his name, Shama El, God hears, that's his name. And his mother named him that because she was already beyond the years of childbearing when she conceived and had this son, the only child she had. And so she called him, you know, God hears, Shmuel. And so he's the founder, in a way, of the prophetic movement. God talked to many great holy people in Israel. And some of what they said has been written down, and it's right here in the book of Samuel and Kings, but also Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos. These were people endowed with the word of God. And they guided God's people through this word. And they foretold the future. So that when Jesus came, you remember, he went into the synagogue and they handed him the scroll. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor," and so forth. And he put it down and said, "Today, that reading has been fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the fulfillment." And it's funny the way we are, huh? Instead of saying, "Wow, aren't we lucky to be alive?" They tried to throw him off the edge of the hill. We like God to be around to help us, but not too close, because then we have to change. And but he's the founder of the prophetic movement in Israel. And there were a lot of prophets. Now we're still at the very beginning of Mark. Huh? This is in the story, if you remember, he was in the synagogue and preaching, and somebody screamed out, "What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? We know you've come to destroy us." And he said, "Be quiet and go out of him." That was the end of that. Drove the demon out. So everybody's pretty impressed already, huh? Then he went home. And now we have it's a little difficult to do. Like it's a vocation story. Simon's mother-in-law was sick, and he went over to her, grasped her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and what did she do? She waited on them. That's a vocation story, don't you see it? He healed her, and she turned into a servant, and she waited on them. And then after sunset, remember it's Shabbat, you can't carry anything around, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. If you've ever, anybody here, been to Capernaum? Somebody. Yeah. You know, it's the old Capernaum is here's the synagogue, not the synagogue that Jesus was in, which is under that one. But if you look to the right, there's this, they've excavated the town. Tiny little houses all scrunched up together, you see. So they all went then and gathered at the door. Now notice the good news. He cured many who were sick with various diseases. And he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. See, they wanted to speak, and, oh, there you are, you're Jesus, so that the people would say, well, if the demons are making a big fuss over him, we don't know who he is or where he's really from. You know, maybe this is part of his plan. In other words, approval by the demons is hardly approval at all. That's why he said, be quiet, don't speak. But you notice how, especially in Mark, we see this healing and authority over demons and driving them away. That's still part of the church's mission. You know, every diocese has an exorcist, nearly every diocese. Some of the American dioceses think it's out of date. Well, it's not, I can promise you. But then in the morning, before dawn, he went off to a desert place where he prayed. Now this is the Son of God, eternal. God of God, light of light, true God of true God. And he goes off to pray. What about us? And he gets up really early to do this. Now everybody's busy and they got stuff to do, and you know, maybe that early morning is not the best time for you, but fight for a prayer time. Fight for it. If the devil can get you thinking that's not important, I got stuff to do, I got to get supper ready or whatever, you know, he's got you. Not he hasn't got you, you're going to hell, but you're not going to grow. You've got to be talking to the Lord yourself. And a half hour, anyway. I remember a fellow, he was a big shot in IBM in his early 40s, but he had a very important job. So I was talking, he had about four or five kids, and, you know, put the collection in. He was a good man, but he didn't pray. So I said, you know, you got to pray. I don't have any time. I said, give me 10 minutes a day before you go to work. So I saw him a few months later, and he said, I'm praying an hour a day. I said, I thought you didn't have time. He said, it got to be a hunger. See how the Lord wins us over? We just start, try, and he wins us over. So he was still a big shot in IBM and all the rest, but he was praying an hour a day. And did that ever bless his family? So if the Son of God goes away to pray, and he's in living eternal contact with the Father, might not be a bad idea if we prayed and found time to pray before the day starts. Because once the day starts, you're like me, anyway, it's over. The next time I'm going to get a little time is the end of the day. So this our example of prayer every day is God himself. Couldn't have a better example, could you? And so then the crowd follows him, his disciples follow him. And he said, well, let's keep going now. I got to go around to all these other villages that I may preach there also. And that includes healing. Preaching and healing go together because healing is preaching and preaching is healing. You know, you can hear great stuff, but when it touches your heart, you're healed. Get rid of sin and all the rest. For this purpose I have come, to tell the world about my Father, to get them ready to understand what happens when I go through the baptism, which I have to go through, and I die on the cross. But some of you will be ready to understand what happened if you listen to me. So he begins. Huh? So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. Do you think we need that kind of activity? Preaching and driving out demons? Boy, do we ever. Do we ever. Now, they don't often go, they can, you know, go screaming, but they got to go. They oppress lives. They keep people addicted. They keep people afraid of God and ruin families. And so the word of God will push them all back. That's why everybody has to preach. You say, well, I'm not very good at it. You don't have to be good at it. You just have to tell people who Jesus is and that he loves them. That's all you got to do. And if you do that because it's true, it will penetrate hearts.